Blog Talk Radio.
I've been getting all this money. I've been spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Hey yo, I'm up in VIP. I see you standing at the bar. I'm dapper damn fresh, puffin' on a cigar. Douce in my cup, ace of spade in the bucket. Chillin' on ice, got a pocket full of ducats. What's your name, who you is, I'm tryin' to find out who you are. I need a designated driver, hit the keys to my car. I been getting all this money, all praise to Allah. Foreign whip, drop top, you could gaze up at the stars. Check out my appearance, nothing on me from clearance. This ain't happen overnight, this is years of perseverance. The night is still young, room service at the aroma. When you high your life, you never sober. Come closer.
I've been getting all this money.
I've been spending all this cash.
I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Switching four lanes, I've been getting all this cash, baby money ain't a thing. Got the roof in the trunk, I could teach you how to stunt. What you know about rolling fruit punch in the blunt? You got me tripping, I forgot to mention. Ever since an infant, I've been on that pimp shit. I've been up and down, flying in and out of town, reminiscing how I feel to make love in the air. Life is but a dream, sometimes it ain't fair. Keep your eyes on the prize of falling in love with a square. My neck and my wrists on Times Square bright. What's the point of living life if you ain't living life, baby?
I've been getting all this money. I've been spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Hey, go on, work it for a real nigga. If he ain't got the bank, why you dealing with him? Hindsight, that's 2020. You ain't gotta look no more. I'm the one you been searching for. Straight dope, uncut. Shock him pure. Being broke is a disease. And baby, I got the cure. Live smart, die genius. Keys, they open doors. With an ass like that, the world is all yours. Hey, hey, go on working for a real nigga. Make that ad work like a 9-to-5. Hey, hey, go on working for a real nigga.
I've been getting all this money.
I've been
spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass? Work that ass. Work that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Go on, work it for a real nigga. Yeah, hey, go on, work it for a real nigga. Yeah, hey, go on, work it for a real nigga.
When are you gonna work that ass?
All right, Beth. Yeah. Walk with me. Walk with me.
Come take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you could buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap. In the trap, you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe. That's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line, you get dropped for free. I won't let you fall if it's up to me. And they say misery like companies. Don't let them put you down on companies. You know I got your back, you look up to me. It's okay to show love, but cautiously. It's okay for men to cry, but not normally. Let's go.
Yeah. Walk with me. Walk with me.
Just relax, nigga, take a seat. You be acting all hard, you ain't from the street. Got a good family and somewhere to sleep. Nigga, I was house to house with nowhere to eat. I don't get you niggas, these shoes can't fit you niggas. You can play it off, looking in your eyes, see you mask off. Pretending to be a G until they pull your card. Yo, you still young, don't take the road where I came from. Ain't nothing there, couple of holes, a sippin' beer. Switching up, pose with the pole, ain't playing fair. Get up out that circle, you ain't earning shit with them squares. Before you get caught up and then happen to take a stare. Find a sense of tingling, feeling all in the air. And keep God close with the post and make a prayer.
Yo, this record for all your loved ones, man. Don't ever steer them in the wrong direction. Being real is a form of respect. Respect yourself.
Let's go, man. Being real, being genuine. Yourself.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Good evening. Good afternoon. No, I'm just good evening. I had to play another song. I usually open up my show with one song, but believe it or not, I spilled the whole cup of hot tea on my table. Luckily, it didn't damage none of my equipment. The devil is busy. The devil is busy. Once again, good evening and welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. How everybody feeling out there? I hope you can hear me well. You know, if anybody out there, if you can hear me, if you're having problems, hear me, shoot me a text or inbox or something. Let me know how the sound is. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing. Okay, everybody can hear somebody text me, say they can hear me loud and clear. Oh, man. Let me see, where should I start today? Where should I start to show off today? Let's start the day off with how everybody feel about the weather changing. God gave us a couple of more warm days. He didn't want summer to go that quick. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. But you know, the brick is about to come. The cold weather is upon us very soon. And then we're going to start screaming, where is the summer? When it's summer, you be screaming, where is the winter? When it's winter, we start screaming, where is the summer? But for right now, we just got to deal with what we got to deal with, the change of the weather and the allergies going up and down and stuffy noses and all kind of other stuff with the fall, with the summer leaving and the fall approaching. I just cleaned up this mess right here. Couldn't believe I made some hot tea and spilt it. But anyway, the show must go on. This evening, ladies and gentlemen, we have part two. It's a continuation of last Friday's show. If everybody know, last Friday we had a very, very unique show. It was epic, in my opinion, exclusive, one of a kind, where I was the guest on my own show. And I felt it was about time for that. It was about time for me to let my listeners become more familiar with me than just the face on Facebook or a voice on my podcast. I kind of really brought everybody into my realm, into my self-realization, into my existence or my origin in the universe. And I hope they enjoyed it. But today we have part two, the conclusion, the finale, or whatever you want to call it or whatever you see it as, that's what we're going to have tonight. So about 8:25, we'll take a little break, and then I'll bring on my interviewer, the lovely, beautiful Jennifer Ellison, who did a hell of a job last week, if I have to say so myself. And I hope everybody, I hope everybody felt like that. There's a couple of things I wanted to speak on before I get started with the introduction. Well, this can be considered an introduction. I'm a person that's known for wear my heart on my sleeves. And I've been known to hold things in. Even though I'm an analyzer, a Virgo analyzer, I'm a person who I'm judgmental, and I hold things in. And sometimes I might take things on face value, even though I wasn't raised to do that or I wasn't taught to do that. I wasn't taught to read a book by its cover. I wasn't taught to see blue as black or red as blue. You say what you mean, and you mean what you say. If you walk the walk, you talk the talk. If it quack like a duck, then it's a duck. And that's kind of like the motto of how I live my life. Last week during the Q&A time, I guess between 9:30 and 10, I had a male caller call in, and he spoke very, very respectfully about his views and ideas of a pimp. He said that, if I'm correct, he said that when he was young, he looked up to pimps, you know, and he even told, I believe he said his mother or his grandmother, that's what he wanted to be when he grew up. But then he said that once he became from a young man into a man, he found out or he understood or he began to realize that maybe that pimps, they was people that preyed on the weak. And I kind of really, you know, I kind of took offense to it a little bit because I never really felt like I preyed on the weak. But that was me. I never really felt like I preyed on the weak when I was out there pimping. I kind of always felt like everything went hand in hand. Everything was connected. I never really felt like I preyed on the weak. But anyway, the gentleman called in and he said when he was younger, he used to admire pimps and, you know, fascinate about being a pimp until he became a man. And then he realized that they preyed on the weak. And like I said, I kind of felt a little edgy about that. But after thinking more on it and doing the knowledge on it, I come to realize that was his opinion. And I have to respect that. If that's what he felt, then that's what he felt. The last thing I want is people to feel like they can't call up here and say what they want to say. Because, you know, this is the Keeping It Real show. So I want people to feel like they could call up here and say whatever they want to say within reason, as long as it's not disrespectful. And I might let a little bit of that go. I'm going to respect some people, a person, until I don't have to. So that goes both ways. But the last thing I want is somebody to feel like I'm judgmental or they can't call up here and voice their opinion. And for that point, I think I was somewhat wrong because from the way he spoke respectful. He spoke like a gentleman and he gave his own opinion on what he felt. Pimps did, you know, he felt like they preyed on the weak. And then I came back and I said, well, drug dealers prey on the weak. I didn't know the gentleman. I came back and I said, drug dealers prey on the weak. Because if you sell if you exploit black people. Because if you're a black person, you sell drugs to black people, then you're exploiting black people. Just like a pimp, if he has a black female working for him, then he's exploiting the black race too. I felt like if you was a drug dealer and you sell drugs to a woman that was pregnant, you know, and the list goes on and on. But anyway, the whole bottom line of why I'm saying that is because that's the last thing I want people to feel like. They can't call up here and say what they want to say. I want everybody to feel like they can call up here and voice their opinion and give their thoughts and ideas on whatever the fuck they want. And I just got to respect it because it's a talk show, and we all up here. This is Friday night. Everybody, if it wasn't for the listeners, I wouldn't be here. You could be anywhere else in the world doing anything else in the world, but you're here with me, listening to me. And I got to take responsibility for that and stop wearing my ego and stuff on my sleeves a little bit and just take it down a little bit. Okay, moving on from that. Then we had another gentleman who called in, I believe, and it was him and his lady, his wife, something they called in, and he was very, very, very kind of loud and funny. He was funny. He was loud. A little disrespectful. I didn't really see it as that, but my listeners did. I believe the first thing he said when he came on was, don't make me get my belt or something like that. You know, I kind of laughed that off because that was my man. You know what I mean? He's older than me, and if that's what he wanted to say, that's what he wanted to say. But we have to keep everything within reason because my listeners, they was not going for that. And if he calls back tonight, I'll let him know. Like, the listeners felt like he was trying to shine on me. He was trying to steal my program. He was trying to take the spotlight. He was trying to make this his show, you know. But that's how my listeners felt. I'm still up in the air with how I feel about it. I could, like, you know, a lot of times I keep my bullshit-proof vest on. So, like, a lot of shit bounces off of me. You know what I mean? Because I'm here up here saying a lot of shit, and it's not might not all be right, and everybody might not take everything I say right. Some things might hurt. So when you like my mother used to say, if you give it, you have to be able to take it. So you know, even within him, I mean, people was like, don't let him call back and don't let them back on your show. But no, I'm not going to do that. See, I've never been a yes sir person. Jay Sean got to do what's best for Jay Sean. And this is my podcast. So I'm going to have the last say on whatever that's going down or whatever situations. I'm always going to have the last say because it's my show. But other than that, I just wanted to speak on that, you know, and kind of clear that out the air a little bit. I wanted to thank a lot of people. I can't just name all names and stuff like that, but a lot of people who've been very supportive of me. Everybody out there, you know who you are, but it's a couple of people who, you know, who really came through and showed support. Recently, I'm not going to talk about the people because I've been doing this for a year. I'm going to talk about the people who have done it recently. Erica Freeman, Rashawn Dixon, Kayshawn Jones, who else? Elvis Durham, Dawn Pickney, who else? My mind, it gets clogged up at times, so I can't go on and on. But those are the people who support me, like, all the time. You know what I mean? And if it wasn't for them and my other listeners that's out there, you know, it takes nothing away from that. But those are the people who stick out in my mind right off the bat. You know, but It's a lot of other people who support me. It's a lot of other people, you know, that I could get into different names. Dre Williams, Forrest Nance, the guy from Brooklyn. It's a lot of different people. I can't get into all the names right now, but I just felt like it was time for me to, you know, give some thanks to my listeners, because, like I said, without them, it wouldn't be me. I'm feeling kind of good. I'm sitting in my studio room. I haven't started drinking yet. I'm just drinking hot green tea at the moment, and I'm just killing time until the interview starts. I got about 5 more minutes, and I'm smoking a Black and Mild. And believe it or not, I'm sitting in my studio room and I'm fully dressed and I'm smelling good and I got shades on and I feel really good today. Even though I didn't get the news I wanted to get from my doctor. He told me that my sugar was still up. I mean, you know what I mean? It's an everyday struggle and I'm not gonna give up. So I'm gonna keep going. Let's see. I got like 5 minutes, but I think I see somebody on the line. 1 second. 5346. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Hi, this is Lola. How are you?
This is who?
Lola.
Lola.
Her name was Lola.
Lola.
Yes, Lola.
Okay, Lola, how you doing tonight?
Good, and yourself? I'm just listening. I'm waiting for your interview. You know, just chilling, listening, you know? Giving a shout-out
to you.
Wait a minute.
This voice sounds familiar. I just realized who you are. What's going on? How you doing? Something just hit me. And I just realized who you was. I was like, Lola. Oh, okay. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. Still on the hunt.
Still off the hook?
Yep. Still off the hook. And let me tell you, they're still out of control.
You still out of control?
No, they are.
What you said you still out of control?
The men.
Oh, the men.
Yes.
The men.
Yes.
Okay.
They lie, you know.
Well, you know, this is the relationship show, and I am the relationship guru. You know what I mean? But we're gonna have to talk about that. I'm glad you called in. I was wondering where, you know, I know we lost kind of contact and me and your friend kind of fizzled out, you know, a little bit, but that's okay. You know what I mean? You know, that's life. That's how life is. You know what I mean? I don't carry grudges. If she called the show right now, I would talk to her just like I'm talking to you. I don't hold grudges. I don't hate anybody. And I believe that, you know, time heals all wounds. You know what I mean? And life is too short. You know what I mean?
Especially with COVID.
But anyway. Huh?
Especially with COVID.
Oh, yeah, especially with COVID. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, I really, you know me, I really know about the COVID. You know, I lost my mom like that. So I really take that COVID thing.
Oh, wow, so sorry.
I really take that COVID thing serious. I want to interview you, know what I mean? Maybe next week I want to interview you. I want to see what's going on in your world. You know, I had a lot of people calling up. I had a lot of people calling up my show for you. You know that?
Let me tell you. I had a long streaks on my hair and everything.
Mm-hmm. You got what? You got what?
Blonde hair.
Oh, okay. You feeling yourself?
Who else is going to feel me? Except myself.
The old man who looked like your grandfather with no clothes on.
No, that was the aunt. Oh, my God. He tried to come back.
Yo, I'm telling you, I have people calling up here asking about you and stuff like that. I was like, I don't really know. I haven't heard from her. So yeah, I don't know if I'll ever. But I kind of had a feeling that one day, you know what I'm saying, you would come back on the show because, you know, I'm going to keep doing the show. You know, I'm building it up to almost where I wanted to be. And it's kind of relationship show. It turned into a relationship show, and but last week I'm the guest on my own show, and this week it's like part two of you know, the finale of that. So you know what I mean, don't go nowhere. It's gonna be a good show. You know what I mean?
But
what made you call in tonight?
Because I was thinking about Lola.
You was thinking about Lola.
Yeah, and it's Friday.
That is Friday, and it's nothing better to do but be here. I'm keeping it real.
Exactly.
Show, right?
You see? That's it. That's right.
All right, look. Oh, wow, we got Lola on the line. You're going to have people blowing my radio station up again for you.
That's all right.
I got to take a quick break, and my interview is on the line. And
all right.
And then we'll be right back. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Once again, everybody. That I don't know if y'all. I bet you they remember you. That's Lola, everybody. If y'all remember Lola, I know you can't forget Lola because I see a bunch of people pressing one. They gotta wait to talk to you. they gotta wait to talk to you. So I gotta let me find a quick song so we can get this thing started. We'll be right back. Let me see. I got to find a quick song somewhere. You know, I got a DJ and all this stuff myself now. So I'm wearing all the hats right now. I'm
well,
doing it all.
So just keep drinking your green tea.
Yeah. No. It's time for the Tito's now. The green tea was
all
for the
right.
Introduction. Let me play a song off of one of my other label mates soundtrack. Let me play something a little bit more different right now. Let me put going. No. Matter of fact, you see how long it takes me to find a song? Okay, I'm gonna play.
Uh-huh.
I got a song. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this, everybody.
This song for the people. This song for the world.
Revelations. This is something for you.
They just wanna take my life. They don't want me to live. They just wanna watch me fall. Regardless of all the good I did. They just wanna see me break. They don't wanna see me stand strong. I just wanna do what's right. All they care about is what's wrong.
Devils and these demons, I ain't playing with these demons.
Nah.
Dark light, dark mind with nothing to believe in.
Uh-huh.
I need to know the reason why they want us not breathing.
Breathing.
Mama baby gone, now she's home alone grieving.
Crying.
Little kids got guns, killing people for fun. Now we need a lawyer,
yeah.
He don't get hung. Where's the home tree?
Where that?
Cause everything's missing. Internet and TV really clouding our vision.
Clouding.
It cuts like a scissor.
It hurts.
Pray it from the Christian.
We need
if
it.
The mind was the ear.
Uh-huh.
Then most of us are listening. Everything ain't all bad.
Nah.
It's how you choose life.
Choose it.
I strive for perfection.
I do.
And try to live right.
Uh-huh.
We all don't agree.
Nah.
None. Each one teach
yeah.
One possibility is endless. Success how you reach.
Reach.
Practice more
patience.
Deal with dedication.
Patience.
Don't process.
Uh-huh.
But ends in revelation. Yeah.
They just wanna see me break. They don't wanna
see me stand strong. I just wanna see you one time. Love to kill problems one time.
What's with all the hate?
What's with it?
My life they wanna take.
Why they wanna do that?
Do you see what's on my motherfucking plate?
Kid?
This ain't no mistake.
Huh?
I never pump fate.
I never do that.
Cause death never waits.
Death.
So I strive for success.
I'm striding.
No, I've been black.
I've been black.
Put to the test.
Uh-huh.
I came out the Jackson left.
Jackson?
Until I'm put to rest. You see all these killings. Abandoning
villains.
What's happening to my motherfucking children?
A lot of shit is on my mind, so I think. So I think. Probably the reason why I smoke and I drink. And I drank. Your life could be over before you blink.
Damn.
It's like a whirlpool going down in the sink. Shit is real, and if you live for the dollar bill, then get it. Best believe that the shit is real. I live it, regardless of the roads that you taking. Ha, take heed to the revelation.
They just wanna take my life. They don't want me to live. They just wanna watch me fall. Regardless of all the good I did. And they just wanna see me break. But they don't wanna see me stand strong. And I just wanna do what's right. But all they care about is what's wrong. They just wanna take my life. They don't want me to live. They just wanna watch me fall. Regardless of all the good I did. They just wanna see me break. They don't wanna see me stand strong. I just wanna do what's right. And all they care about is what's wrong.
Revelations.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. And the time has come. It's 8:32. Almost right on the dot. But we ain't going to prolong this thing. I gave my interview with Jennifer Ellison a nice introduction last week. I don't really think we have to go into that because the time goes by so fast. You know what I mean? So we just gonna jump right into things. So like I always say, without any further ado, I would like to bring in the lovely, beautiful, let me find my hand claps, Jennifer Ellison.
Thank you so much for that. Peace, Jay Sean. Happy Friday. How you doing
Peace.
Tonight?
I'm okay. I'm all right. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm sipping on some tea. Like you said, you know, the weather's switching up, so just trying to stay warm.
This about my third green cup, maybe my third or fourth cup of green tea today. Honestly, I had so much today. And before we start, I got to tell you, like, last week I had so much feedback from the show. It was
really
had a lot. We had a lot of people listening online. We had a lot of people that clicked on the link. You know what I mean? I think the majority of the people clicked on the link. You know what I mean? Like, everybody ain't too fond about, you know, numbers and all that. So a lot of people clicks on the link, but we really had good numbers.
That's good.
Good numbers don't mean good money, but it's good numbers, you know. So hopefully one day it'll turn into that. But before we start, last week, some of the feedback I got was that, and just to let everybody know, like, I never set nothing up. Like, this is like our first time talking since last Friday. You know what I mean? I think we texted yesterday or something like that. But the people said that a couple of people told me that they felt like we stayed on the part of the pimping of my life too long. I didn't really feel like that, you know what I mean? But I guess certain people felt like that, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And Did you think we did?
No, but I, then again, I knew the vision. I knew where this was going. So, you know, having the end in mind, I knew we had to start from somewhere. I thought it was interesting,
right,
some of the comments, because they jumped right to the punchline. And, you know, that's part of the culture now, too. It's all about instant gratification. Like, people don't want to, like, wait things out and really work it through, you know. So I felt that it was important, you know. But it struck some nerves, you know. We were getting ready to get beat with belts and all kind of stuff. So it got a little crazy.
I was talking about that in the introduction. I was talking about how the guy had called. Did you hear it? Was you listening?
I did. Mm-hmm. And I was in total agreement. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So
yeah.
And
took a left turn.
I like that. I want people to be able to call here and say whatever. And then, but since then I heard they was like, a lot of people said you was real good. You know what I mean? Some people said that you was a little bit, you was too serious though. They wanted you to tell a couple of jokes or something, like not tell no jokes, but. I said, okay, I said, so now we both know what to do now. Now we know that I can't talk about pimping too much. And you got to tell about two or three jokes.
That's the checklist for tonight.
I'm just playing.
Go ahead. Saying that we definitely knew it was past the pimp story. Like, I think we got it. We laid it down. And, we're ready to move forward.
That was like a big chunk of my life. You know, like, you're talking about, like, 20, that's like 20 years off and on, or a little bit more. So how can you just touch on that and then jump off? You really can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, if I was a soldier for 20 years or 25 years, I mean, then that would have been, like, a big part of the conversation. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, with all that being said, that everybody loved you. Everybody said you did good. That was the only thing that I heard that I talked a little bit about too much about pimping. And And me and you was a little bit too serious, but I didn't feel like that, so I don't know. But anyway,
that's the good thing about feedback. It's all good.
I love feedback. My movies, my books, and my podcast, whatever. Because without feedback, you won't never get better. You know what I mean?
Right. When you're dealing with the audience, you're dealing with the public. You never know how things would land, you know. You have it in your mind. You said it last week, like, you know, you have a certain vision or a certain direction. But, you know, you don't always know how it's going to land or how the people are going to receive it. So the feedback is good.
Right. Of course.
With everything we talked about last week, you know, of course, outlining, you know, laying down, you know, the lifestyle. It did, you know, I could see where people would think that we were kind of glorifying it or maybe like bigging it up. But with all the highs come lows too. So that's kind of where I want to start and then bring us to the present day. So, you know, what were some of the worst times that you had, you know, in that life?
Some of the worst times I had.
Yeah, if you could highlight maybe one or two.
Some of the worst times I had in that game was, I always tell stories, but I hate doing it. It's just something that I do. That's how I start writing my books, because I used to always tell stories, and everybody was like, man, you should write a book. But I'm gonna try to speed this story up and tell it within 5 minutes. I'm gonna do my best.
Gotcha.
A long time ago in the 80s, I hope she ain't listening, but I doubt it. But in the 80s, a long time in the 80s, I had one chick, you know, that was my bottom woman. She was working for me, And we was living in the Alexander Hamilton Hotel. I don't know how many people remember that, downtown Patterson, famous hotel. We was living in the Alexander Hamilton Hotel. And back then we was living in a hotel, and I believe we was paying like $75 a week or $25 a day. Because, you know, that's where a lot of pimps stayed, and drug dealers and stick-up kids, all the hustlers stayed in that hotel. And well, anyway, my, you know, my lady used to get dressed to go to work like around 8 o'clock. She was working up the street at this go-go bar called the Orca Room. If you know where Patterson at right now, where Checkers at, right across the street from Checkers, it's a barbershop there, I believe. It's a barbershop with some, a liquor store and a barbershop. But that used to be a go-go bar called the Orca Room. And upstairs from that was the after-hour joint. So anyway, she, my lady left one night to go to work, you know, because it was only two blocks, so I didn't really have to drive her. And she left to go to work, and so she went to work, and she called me, you know, she called me, because cell phones wasn't out then. She called the hotel room. She told me that she had a bachelor party to do. She ran into some Italian guys. They wanted to, they was taking some dancers from the go-go bar to a bachelor party. Now, at that time, I really wasn't that familiar with go-go, bachelor parties and all that. Don't forget, I was still young at that time. You know what I mean? Maybe 19, something, maybe 19 or 18, 19, somewhere around there. And I knew what a bachelor party was. I had never been to one, but I knew, I used to hear people say a dancer can make a lot of money at a bachelor party. And so she called me. She was gonna go to a bachelor party. Some Italian guys came there. They wanted like two or three girls, and they was paying them to come up front. So she was like, you know, I told her it's cool. So I forgot how much they was getting each girl to go there, but they was giving them maybe $100 or $200 to go to the party. That's just to go. Back then, that was a lot of money. So I said okay. So She left and went to the go-go bar. At that time, see what I, that's what I say about when you're young it's, and you hustling. Sometimes it's like the blind leading the blind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At that time, I didn't ask her to go outside and get their license plate. You know what I mean? I didn't ask who was they, where was they. You know, I didn't really ask nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I was just seeing green and relying on, you know, her, you know, her ability to, you know, acknowledge a good situation and a bad situation. So, anyway, she left, and I think she left, and say like maybe like, okay, she went to the bar at 8, say she left when it was about 10, I'm not sure, I'm just exaggerating. So 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, okay, you know, time is going. And I know a bachelor party is not all night. So say like if it's 1 o'clock, all right? So now I'm getting a little edgy. I get up. I walk to the bar up the street. And some people tell me a couple of girls went and they was going to another, they was doing a bachelor party somewhere around the Fifth Dimension or something. That was another bar from the 80s. And so anyway, I was like, okay. I went back to the hotel. Now it's like 2 o'clock, and the bars is closed because they used to close, I think, at 2 o'clock back then. Still no phone calls, still nothing, okay? So I'm getting a little bit more worried now, you know what I mean? Because the last thing you want is something to happen to your lady, and it's bad to say is the last thing you want is something to happen to your money, you know what I mean? And but, I mean, I'm just talking this real talk. So 2 o'clock, I still haven't heard from her. Now I'm really nervous. So now I'm outside. I'm in my car. I'm driving around. You know, I'm trying to see maybe if she had another, if they had a bar or if they had a hotel somewhere. And now I come back to the hotel, 3 o'clock, nothing. No, you know, you go to the front desk and you ask the people at the desk if anybody left any messages for you at a hotel. No messages. 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Now I'm calling police stations. I'm calling hospitals. I'm a nervous wreck. You know what I mean? I'm on the third floor in the hotel. I'm looking out the window. I'm back in the window. I'm downstairs. I'm walking around, I'm driving in the car, I'm back upstairs, like I'm really, really, really going crazy. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Now, I don't know how another pimp would have reacted. I'm just saying how I reacted. You know what I mean? Because that's still an individual. That's still somebody you care about. That's still somebody that's more than a dollar bill to you. You know what I mean? And to make a long story kind of shorter, 5 o'clock, nothing. So about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm looking out the hotel window and I could see Church Street from my window. And I see a Cadillac pull up and I see her getting out the car. Now this has been going on since like 10 o'clock that night. So imagine with your stress level, 1,000, thinking some of the worst things that she could have been raped, stabbed, tied up in the basement, being tortured by a sadistic fool, like from the suburbs or something like that. You know what I mean? In a shoebox, cut up. Now you got to think that's where your mind take you at. So I see her. She's getting out the car, and this is the part of the story where it gets a little fun, not funny but crazy. So I see her getting out the car. I see her getting out. I see her. She coming up the street with some Dunkin' Donuts or something, and she in a good ass damn mood. I could see that from the window. So I come back in the window. I turn all the lights off, the radio, the TV, whatever off. I snatch off all my clothes. I jump in the bed, under the bed. I pretend like I'm sleeping. You know what I mean? Like she comes in the room. I pretend like I'm asleep. She can't wake me up, blah, blah, blah. I act like I wake up. She tell me, oh, I'm home. I made whatever, $700, $800. I can't remember what it was, but it was a lot of money. I get up, and she, like, apologizes, saying she didn't have time to call. She was working and everything. But the whole moral of this story is, like, when you ask me about the lows of it, you know what I mean? That's a low part of the game, you know what I mean? Because from 10 o'clock till in the morning time, I probably aged like 5 or 10 years, you know what I mean? Like that's some stuff that you wouldn't want to never go through in your life, you know what I mean? And I've been in worse situations like that when I had girls that was working for me who have been raped or, you know, ran into different situations. But that one night right there, it sticks in my mind forever. And I can never get that night out of my mind. And you know what I mean? And I never told her like the stuff I went through that night because you know, a pimp ain't supposed to show emotions, you know, so that's the reason why I jumped in the bed in the morning and pretended like I was asleep all night, but I was far from sleep all night. I was a nervous wreck. I was crying. I was going crazy. I was stressing. I was sweating. It was one of the worst nights of my life because I didn't really know. I didn't know what happened to her. So when you talk about the lows, that's one of the lows. Not only that, the lows of all the stress I went through, is because you got to think in your mind, it could have went the other way. She could have never came home. You know what I mean? She could have been missing. She could have been floating in the river somewhere. You know, she could have been tied up in somebody's basement. You know what I'm saying? She could have been gang raped by a bunch of people. So that's whenever I hear somebody talk about the lows, that's just one of the lows. That's just one thing that sticks in my mind about out of all the years that I was doing that, and I hope everybody understood what I meant by that.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned, you know, a couple times this idea of like violence and rape and murder, and just, you know, how it's all tied to the lifestyle. Eventually, it's not as glamorous as people would think, you know.
No,
so
not at all.
Why did you stop? What made you stop?
I'll try to I'll try to make this one quick. And this is another. I gotta tell it like it is for people to understand. I had tried to stop one time, and I was gonna retire, and a lot of people was telling me not to, but I wanted to. A lot of guys, my friends, was telling me not to. You know what I mean? But they was married. They had families. They just like me to keep doing what I was doing. So when they wanted to cheat, they could just call me up and send a girl over or come by my house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had females living with me. So it was okay for them, for me, you know what I mean? Because they had families, you know what I mean? They had homes, you know what I mean? And it was okay for them to come and cheat, you know, and buy some ass whenever they wanted to and then go back home. But see, me, I was living it. So it was hard for me. So anyway, I tried to retire, and then I couldn't really do it because it's this female, and her name is I'm not gonna get into her name. But anyway, one day I was dropping everybody off from work from the go-go bar, and she was the last one to get out the car, and she looked at me and she was crying, and she was like, Jay Sean, you really gonna get this up? And I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? I've been doing it a long time, you know what I mean? And she looked me like dead in my face, and she said to me, she said, but what we going to do now? What we going to do now? And seeing that girl look me in my eyes and the sorrow and the sincerity and the desperation, you know, and all that in her eyes and everything, and it really was kind of like a surreal situation that, like, and that's where I go back to when, you know, people, like, how they say, people say you pray on people, you know what I mean, when I go back to that, because that wasn't a praying situation, praying on somebody situation. That was a situation when you had a female who didn't know nothing else to do, and that was her only means of survival, you know what I mean, and then without me, she was going to feel lost. So anyway, from her just telling me that, Jen, I wind up doing it 5 more years. Just from
wow.
From that one, she don't even know that to this day either. Just from her, that one day crying and asking me, what we going to do now, that made me pimp for another 5 years out of my life. So I don't know if it was good, better for me, or I don't know if it was easier for me or easier for her. You know what I mean? But anyway, how I stopped, I was doing a party, and I think it was in Newark for some college kids from the Rutgers. They was from Rutgers University. And I had brought some girls there. I think somebody else brought some girls there. And then I had to leave to go pick somebody up, or a girl up or something. I had to go pick somebody up. And then I was already, you know, at the end of my line, kind of. I was at the end of my line. And something happened to me. Like, in my whole life, I've always been a person who had epiphanies, or, like, I seen things before they would happen, or because, you know, warnings come before tragedy.
Right.
You just have to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times people don't see the warning signs. You know what I mean? You really got to pick up on the warning signs. So anyway, I was coming back. I dropped the girls off at the party, and I came back. I was on my way back. I think I went to pick somebody up, or maybe I went to get some condoms or whatever. I can't remember. And when I came back to the party, it was in full effect. It was guys standing on tables and chairs, and I barely could go in. There were so many guys. They was college students, fraternity or whatever. And I made my way through the crowd. And it was two females, you know, they was on the floor, and they was putting on a show with each other. So they was like, you know, they was going down on each other, you know what I mean, and, you know, licking and all that stuff. But they was performing it on each other. And the guys was going crazy, and they was throwing a lot of money, and it was just crazy. And I don't know what happened. Something just came over me, and I just turned around, and I ran to the bathroom, and I locked myself in the bathroom, and I just started crying. Like, I just was crying, and I was just crying. And I was I couldn't stop crying. Like, it was like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I couldn't stop crying. And I told a couple of people this story in my life, but not too many people. And I was right there in that bathroom, and I don't talk to God that much, you know what I mean? Because I don't believe in asking God for nothing unless you really need it or unless you serving him. That's just how I feel. They say you could talk to him anytime, he a forgiving God, but that's just how I feel. And I got down on my knees in the bathroom, and I just told God, like, yo, I don't want to do this no more. You know what I'm saying? If you help me, or if you point me in the right direction, or if you show me, you know what I mean, that this not for me, you know, that, you know, I promise I wouldn't do it anymore. And and that was the last night. That was the last party I ever gave. I maybe years later, I was associated with other parties, like, you know, directing traffic. I directed traffic, you know what I mean? But that was the last party I really gave right there. And I never know what came over me. It's just when I seen the two girls on the floor eating each other out and the guys throwing all the money, just something came over me, and I was crying uncontrollably. And I just locked myself in the bathroom, and people was trying to get in the bathroom. You know, when guys drinking beer, they got a piss. They was trying to get in the bathroom, and I was in there, and I was crying, and I was talking to God, like just telling him I didn't want to do it no more. And that was like the last party I actually gave, you know, was hired to do myself.
Yes.
And
so what would you tell someone who, you know, knowing what you know now, what would you tell someone who came to you and said they wanted to be a pimp or that they wanted to be a stripper? What would you tell them?
What would I tell somebody who came to me and told me they wanted to be a stripper or a pimp?
Right.
You said both of them or one of them? A stripper or
I'm
what?
I'm like,
you
either
want to
or. Yeah, we could start. I mean, a young man comes to you, you know, listened to the first half of the story and didn't catch the second half, let's say, and comes to you and says that they want to be this pimp. Like, what would you tell them?
I would never turn anybody against being a pimp, or I would never turn a female away from being a stripper or a dancer, because that would be, in my eyes, somewhat like a hypocrite, because it's something that I did so long, and it's not like it's all bad times. Like, for every bad time I told you I had, I could tell you probably 20 good times I had. And even if it was my daughters or something, I couldn't tell them. I wouldn't tell them what not to do. I would tell them the repercussions of doing it. So, like, if a guy came to me and he said, oh, I always wanted to be a pimp, you know what I mean, I look up to you, you know, what could you tell me? You know, I would tell him that you would be lucky if you could, you know, do it as long as I did. And You're not in a sane asylum, you're not in prison, or you're not dying from a sexual transmitted disease. You're gonna miss a lot of time with your children. You're gonna miss a lot of time with your family. And if you got mothers and fathers or somebody who really look up to you, you got to deal with them whether they feel proud of you or ashamed of you. You know what I mean? And if it was a young lady who wanted to be a stripper, it would be the same thing. I wouldn't tell her not to do it, because all girls that strip, not drug addicts. I mean, you got girls that's college students. You got girls that's interns to be doctors who just paying their way through college. Cause you got, just like you got low class bars, you got upscale bars, you got some bars where girls make thousands and you can't even touch them. And then you got the low bars where you can go and you can do just about anything. And I wouldn't tell them not to do it. I would just tell them the same way that I told, you know, a guy who had was yearning to be a pimp. I would tell her that you have to worry about when this is over with, and you meet somebody and they want to marry you. You know what I mean? And you got to worry about, will he understand all the blowjobs you gave, or will he understand all the sex you did? And if you wasn't doing that, will he understand all the lap dances you did, or will he understand all the negative things about it, that the little things that people don't know about that go on, that not including sex, maybe hand jobs, full body massages, you know what I mean? Like, are you going to be able to live with yourself without telling somebody that you love now when all this is over, you know, all the things you did? And you can't forget that you're not always going to be young and pretty with a fat ass. You know what I mean? That's in time, mm-hmm. that shit will leave you. You know, your looks, you know, you get older, you start sagging here and you start getting a little wrinkles there. You know what I mean? So all the time you've been dancing, maybe you could have been in school. You know what I mean? And the same thing far as the diseases go, you know, and then you got the other things about the, you know, some hookers get killed. Some strippers get killed. Some strippers get raped. Some strippers get beat until they almost was dead. It's a lot of you know, I call that the tragic side of pimping, or the tragic side of stripping. You know what I mean? So I would leave that up to the individual, you know what I mean, and see how they felt about it. But I would never, ever just tell somebody not to do, because, you know, you've been young, I've been young. The main thing that somebody tell you not to do is the thing that you do. You know, and like I said,
it's funny.
I'm not gonna look up what?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I was thinking about what you were saying, and I had to go look up the definition of a hoe, because we were using that word a lot last week. Like, what is a hoe? Right. So the first dictionary said a woman in uh-huh. particular, one who's had many casual sexual encounters or relationships, like what you were describing, right? All of those sexual mm-hmm. encounters, right? Does that alone define them as a hoe? But then remember, I was still like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just a behavior or if it's a mentality. So then I went to the Urban Dictionary, and they define a hoe as anyone, could be man or woman, anyone who dehumanizes themselves by selling their souls to others. That definition struck me. I think the act of just having sex for having sex, I mean, I don't know, what's considered a lot of sex? 5 partners, 10, 20? I mean, I don't know, right? How do you quantify a lot of sex? But I think it's the other side, like the part that you're describing, when you're dehumanizing yourself.
Right.
When it's the lack of, like, self-respect, like when it gets to the point where you're doing those things that you would be embarrassed to for anybody to find out about. Like,
right,
how far does it go?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the part that I would, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people, of men and women, they just like to say, you know, and some of our parents have told us that, you know. Even my mother, you know, used to tell me, like, your past is your past, you know what I mean? But, I didn't know you when I did all that. You know, that's my past. My past is my past. But see, if you just gave head to the whole high school basketball team or the whole college football team, you know what I mean? And do you really want to tell somebody that that's my past? Oh, my past is my past. And then you got to live with that stuff. There's a lot of things that I've done and a lot of things that I've seen done that, you know, that I live with. You know, and they haunt me, and not just and don't get it twisted. Not just pimping. I got to keep saying that. Drug dealers too.
Yeah.
Stick up kids too. Stick up kids. You know what I mean? They don't intend to pull the trigger. They want a nice, clean robbery. Give me your shit. You know what's going on. Let me get your shit. And they want to be on their way. But every now and then, you have the time when somebody going to tell you, I'm not giving you shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you have to change the rules of the game. You know what I mean? So a lot of people is connected in a lot of things. You know what I mean? The bottom line is like this. Most people from where we from, or most people how I think about it, think about this. I did over 20 years in that, 20-something years and off and on in that profession, right? And you probably know this because you're a school teacher. How many years do it take to be a lawyer?
About 8.
8 years to be a lawyer. How many years does it take
to be a
doctor?
Well, no, I mean, you could really do 6 years. You could do 4 and then go 2 years of law school. A doctor,
how many years?
And another 2 from residency, about 10 years.
All right, so that's 10 years to be a doctor, about 8 to be a lawyer. And we can go on and on with all the profound professions, and
right.
none of them don't take 20 years to be that. So I devoted like 20 years of my life to something when I could have just took 8 years and been a lawyer. And think about it. If you good with talking, which I claim to be, then I would have been a hell of a damn defense lawyer. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
For some criminals. You know what I mean? I would have been a hell of a lawyer. You know, or whatever else, a hell of a psychiatrist, a hell of a fireman, a hell of a doctor, whatever. You know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? We waste a lot of time in life doing the wrong thing sometimes, and sometimes it comes back. And when you get older, like we older now, it just makes you think. Arsenio Hall used to say, "It make you go, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And
after your 3 books, you wrote 3 urban novels, and then you switch gears. You went to the Andre Williams story, you know.
Right.
If anybody hasn't read the book, you know, it's a very compelling story about this young man. You know, what made you switch gears like that?
Because I always, when I wrote The Patterson Pimp, you know, I had just got out of that, and then I did My Soul Is Still Pimping. It still was in, just like you say, My Soul Was Still Pimping. Then I did How She Became a Hoe, and I felt like I was becoming a one-way author, and I didn't want to be known as just somebody to just write pimp books or hood books. So actually I kind of stumbled up on that, you know what I mean, because I was doing a book signing, and if everybody knows the Andre Williams story, it's about somebody who was born with muscular dystrophy, so he'd been confined to a wheelchair since he was 12. Then he was had a trach. He couldn't talk for 4 years. He was in a coma for a month. And anyway, he came up to me in a wheelchair when I was doing a book signing, and he asked me, would I write his life story? Now, I didn't know him from a can of paint. Mm-hmm. And he just asked me, you know, could I write his life story? So at that time, you know, I think of disabled people like most people do. Like you see a disabled person in the street, and I mean, you look at them and you might feel sentimental for 5 or 10 seconds, but then you driving on or you walking by, you living your life. You know what I mean? So when I looked at him, it was kind of like I looked at him with the look like of not disdain, but I looked at him like with the, you know, like the look like, like, what the hell, you know, what the hell your life story? What you got? You know, you in a wheelchair. Like, what kind of life story? You know what I mean? So I was I asked him, well, why you want your, you know, your life story in the world? And he told me that, you know, like young kids, you know, they got Michael Jordan to look up to, and, you know, different athletes, Tom Brady or, you know, stuff like that. He said, but disabled people didn't really have nobody. So he wanted to, you know, his life story to be like one that, you know, kind of paved the way for disabled people. And it kind of became like that. And the other book I wrote, The Smart Like Me, that's a bullying story about a young black kid who was like almost had a 175 IQ, like was almost a genius. And he got a scholarship to an all-white school, and then the kids was racist against him, and they was always picking on him and beating him up. And he went through a lot of stuff, and he felt like, you know, killing himself and dropping out of school. And then he meet this old man, it's a janitor, and then I don't want to tell people, they got to read the book to find out, Smart Like
Me.
But something happens, and it's a climax, and it changed his whole life around. But I tell you something real funny how I wrote that book, Smart Like Me. I was in college in 2013, and I came I was in a creative writing class, and I came to the class late. And when I came to the class late, we had a project to do. So the professor said, well, since you're late, you can come to the front of the class and tell us about your short novel you wrote. Now, I didn't write anything, and I was late, and I didn't have anything written. So I just came up in the front of the class, and he said, well, what is it about? I said, well, my book is about a black kid who was a genius, a smart, very smart, almost a high IQ. And he got a scholarship to a school, and then everybody used to pick on him. And everybody was like, that sounds like a good book. That sounds like a good novel. And the professor said, I can't wait to read that. Now, I hadn't wrote anything. I just went up there and said that. So that night, I had to go home and write that book in one night, you know, and bring it to him the next day. And that's how the book became Smart Like Me, and it came in third place. And a short novel college for all the colleges in New Jersey. It came in third place. It's in a magazine that floats around all the colleges. I got a contract with a publishing company in North Carolina behind that book. So a lot of things came out of that book. That wasn't even
really
a book. I made it up that night. Yeah. So
you was able to take your storytelling and turn it into an art. Well, a lucrative art.
You took your gift of storytelling, your gift of gab, you know, you're good with the words, and you were able to turn it into something lucrative. That's the taught creative writing as well, right? At St. Paul's. Did you teach creative writing class?
Yeah, to the little kids, I taught creative writing. And actually, on the cover of Smart Like Me, the kids on the cover is the kids from St. Paul's, because I was the after-school program driver / teacher. So I did a lot. You know, I did a lot in my life. You know, and I look back over my life and I don't really got no complaints, you know what I mean? I did a lot of things in my life, and just like everybody else did, but you got to be happy with what you did, you know what I mean? And I got a lot of things that, you know, I wish I didn't do, and I got a lot of stuff that I'm proud that I did do. Couple of things I'm proud of. I'm proud of that before my father passed away, that I wasn't pimping no more, you know what I mean? And and before my mother passed away 2 years ago, she was able to see, you know, she was able to see me as an author. She read some of my, not my hood books. She read some of my books. She came with me to, she came to see me speak at the library at some of my seminars. And, you know what I mean? Like, and how many people could say that, you know what I mean? So, That's like a big thing that I'm proud of, that, you know, my mother was able to see me as an author, a movie writer, and a movie director, and an author, you know what I mean, you know, before she left here, you know what I mean? So I'm proud of that. Like, they didn't leave the earth knowing that I was trying to get women to shake their ass in go-go bars, you know what I mean? And that's another thing I got to clarify. When people use the term as pimping, it's not like other than for a real brief stint, I never really had girls walking on the street corners. You know what I mean? That was real brief in the 80s, man, real brief. Most of my time doing that, I had females in go-go bars dancing. They call go-go bars, they call it the safety zone. So for maybe 1 year, I had girls in the 80s, like, walking in the streets. You know what I mean? And for the rest of the time, it was go-go bar, it was go-go bars, and it was, you know, like, bachelor parties and, you know, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people got the wrong misconception. It's not, it wasn't all, you know what I mean? It wasn't all like walking in the streets. Like, people think I had girls walking up and down the streets. No, this was organized, right. Organized hustling. You know what I mean? Very, very organized. Go-go bars, bachelor parties, fight parties, people coming home from jail parties, you know, birthday parties. It was stuff like that.
Well, you know, like we said before, your experiences definitely make you who you are today. And
right.
You have and you still have a long career ahead of you, you know.
Right.
Where do you see yourself going? Where do you see yourself in 5 years, let's say?
Well, you know, like, a lot of people like to say 5 years. I never really thought about 5 years, which I should, but I give myself, I'm giving myself a 2-year plan. A two-year plan. I wanna still be doing a podcast, but at a higher level.
Uh-huh.
I don't wanna be in New Jersey. I wanna be somewhere in the South, preferably Atlanta. And I wanna be able to get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and then start writing novels, plays, you know, autobiographies or whatever. And when lunchtime comes, stop, eat lunch, take a break, and then write some more. You know what I mean? And then when them couple of hours is over with, I want to be able to go in my backyard and either sit on my back deck or hopefully have a lake where I can fish. You know what I mean? Or somewhere I can go fishing. And that's how I plan, you know, having my life, you know, going out.
I like
plan,
how you visualize
like,
it, how you walk through a day.
I
like the way you did that. I like how you visualize, like, your perfect day, like what your ideal day would look like. Yeah, that's cool. That's a good way to kind of move the energy in.
I don't want to work my whole life. I never did, you know, work my whole life and then die. Like, I never wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so I just wanted people to get a better understanding of me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not someone. Well, most people know me. People who know me, they know me. You know what I mean? Like, whether they consider me as like the Patterson pimp or whether they consider me as whatever they consider me that. Like, everybody know I got like a heart of gold. I'll do anything for anybody. I support everybody, whether I get it back or not. I'm a big person on, I want people just to show me the same respect that I show them, you know, and support.
Okay.
I'm big on support. If I support you, support me. You know what I mean? And I mean, it don't have to be tit for tat. If I support you, you don't have to support me.
Right.
Support another black brother. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And support somebody else. I'll tell you what happened today. Somebody sent me a friend request on Facebook like 2 weeks ago. So I thought it was just somebody who followed me. You know, because a lot of people follow me from my podcast or my books or something.
Right.
So when people send me friend requests, I never know who it is. So about 2 weeks ago, this guy sent me a friend request. So I accepted it. I thought it was just somebody who listened to my podcast. You know, sometimes people want to be friends with you, you know, because they don't, they, you know, they think you like, you know, everybody wants somebody to look up to sometime. Like when I did the book signing a couple of weeks ago, it was a white guy that came in. He just kept telling me, I can't believe I'm sitting here next to you. I can't believe I'm sitting here next to you. You know what I mean? And that felt kind of strange. But anyway, the guy called me on FaceTime, but I don't do FaceTime. So I text him and I asked him, like, what, you know, what did he want? I asked him, did I know him? And he said that, no, he didn't know me, but he just wanted to know if I could send him $20. He was in, you know, desperate need of
what?
$20. Yeah, so black brother.
Oh, boy.
So first thing I said to him was, I said, have you ever listened to my podcast? You ever read any of my books? Have you ever seen any of my movies on YouTube? He just was like, no, no, no. Well, what make you think you could just call me and ask me for $20? Because I look like somebody who might got money. You know what I mean? I said, number one, don't ask a man, another man, for money. You supposed to have women for that. You look like a big, decent-looking dude. You know what I'm saying? You supposed to have chicks for that. Don't get on Facebook and ask another man for money. You know what I mean? And I guess he kind of felt it because he was like, okay, thank you. You know what I mean? And, like, it just was strange to me that he was on Facebook, a grown man asking another man for $20. It couldn't register in my brain. You know what I mean? It just couldn't register.
Nah, that's crazy.
And if he would have told me he listened to my podcast, maybe he could have got $5 in the Cash App or something. But he, you don't listen to my podcast. You never read my books. Like, come on, man. Like, we got to support each other.
Yeah.
We definitely do.
That was definitely a stretch.
Do. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, how would you want to be remembered? You said Patterson 10, but between last week and this week, I think we can, that story of the Patterson Pimp, I think we kind of wrapped that one up.
In
totality, who would you be? Like, who?
Yeah, I want to, when I'm not here no more, I want to be, by my kids, I want to be remembered, by my children, I want to be remembered as, you know, a good father, you know, who was always there when they needed them. You know what I mean? Somebody who left a legacy for them, for their kids could, you know, go to the library and see, you know, their grandfather books in the library, or go on YouTube, if it's probably be something else then, and see his movies on YouTube, and know that I was, you know, if I wasn't there for them, because I got 8 children, but I wasn't in all their lives when they was young, but I'm in all their lives now. So knowing that he maybe wasn't there when I was young, but he made up for it in the end. You know what I mean? And you could ask him for something, and if he didn't have it right then and there, he would make sure he got it to you. You know what I'm saying? He would tell you, just give him some time, and he would give it. He would get it. From my brothers and my sisters, I just want to be remembered like just what I was, you know, like Jay Sean. He was the baby of the family, but he really wasn't the baby of the family. You know what I mean? He was the baby of the family, but he really wasn't the baby of the family. He really was the mastermind, the one who had the best shot. You know what I mean? At saving the name, somebody who was a real brother. You know, was there for you. Somebody you could laugh with, you know what I mean, and somebody you was proud to call your brother, or, you know, your brother, you know what I mean. From my friends, I want to be remembered as like, yo, Jay Sean was a cool motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was one cool dude. He would let you, you know what I'm saying? You could ask Jay Sean for anything, money, his cars, his women, ask Jay Sean for anything, you know what I mean? And his, and that was a joke right there with the women. But, you know what I mean? Like, you could ask Jay Sean for anything, and he was cool to hang with. He was cool to go out with, you know what I mean? And Jay was just a real nigga, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing fake about him, you know what I mean? He wasn't a killer, but he wasn't a coward. You know what I mean? And everybody know it'd be a long time, you know what I'm saying, before they make another person, you know, like me. You know, and I'm kind of proud to say that. You know what I mean? I'm kind of proud to say that. And I can say that about a lot of my friends too. You know, like I come from a unique time in the world, like the 80s and the 90s, and I come from a unique area, you know, where the area I came from, even though some of the people had two parents, some people had one parent, some people maybe didn't have no parents, but it was like a bond, you know what I mean? And I have seen friends fight, and I have seen friends argue, but when it all came down to it, you know what I mean, I seen friends steal from each other, lie to each other, but when it all came down to it, we was one. You know what I mean? And nobody couldn't break that. You know? And right. And that's just how I want to be remembered, you know? As a cool motherfucker.
Sounds good.
Who was a hustling ass brother. Who knew how to make money and didn't want to work his whole life for the white man and then die and adopted his own formula as an entrepreneur and built his own team with women and that's it, you know. But that's how the story go. And I don't even
know
what
else. Well, big up to you, and thank you for taking the time to share. You said a lot, you know. You brought us into your world.
So?
I think so. From last week to this week, you definitely painted a picture and told the story.
Yeah,
I think I did.
You know, like, we got a couple of more minutes, like three minutes. I think that in this lifetime, I still gotta say it's the things you live from. You know what I mean? The situations you've been in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you live to talk about it. You know what I mean? Not the not all good ones, like the bad ones, the rough ones, the when your life was on the line, when you didn't have money, when somebody you love broke your heart. Think all that's the stuff that make you stronger. You know what I mean? And takes you to, you know, and makes you who you is today. Because you got to remember what I said. I grew up a Jehovah Witness. I grew up a person that was taught if somebody smack you in one cheek, you turn the other cheek and let them smack you in the other one. Like, you don't even defend yourself. You know what I mean? I came a long way from that little kid who, you know what I'm saying, that was taught that. You know what I mean? I came a long way from a kid who never had a birthday. I came a long way for a kid that never had Christmas, never went out for Halloween. You know what I mean? I came a long way from that, a very long way. And that stuff like that I owe to, you know, my environment, my friends and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, because hanging with the people I hung with, some of the people I hung with growing up, you know, hanging with people like that, you know what I mean? You wasn't able to just let nobody hit you. You know what I mean? Like, you was taught quick. You got if you don't fight for yourself, don't expect me to fight for you. That's what the air around from. You know what I mean? It didn't matter if you got beat up or whatever happened, but you gotta fight for yourself. You know, and that's the era I'm from, not from all the shooting and everything. I'm from the era that you gotta be respected. You know what I mean? And it ain't always about how tough you is and how hard you fight. You know what I mean? And I always look at the block I came from, like the block I came from, 17th Ave. It's like We knew who was the we knew who was the fighters. We knew who was the shooters. We knew who was known for pulling the females. We knew who was the dressers. We knew who was the the money making dudes. Like, it was like a whole big organization, a team. You know, they worked it together. You know, and made things happen. And maybe all the other blocks was like that, but I don't give a damn about the other blocks. I'm just talking about the block I'm from. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I live for, and I always shout it out because, like, that's what helped make me. I didn't make that block. That block made me, you know, so.
Right.
There's always going to be 17th Ave for me. And I grew up on the block, 31st and 17th Ave, so. The people out there are always going to be, and I don't know how many people listening from my block. It don't matter because I'll say this, if nobody listening, or I'll say it if 20 people listening. And they'll say the same thing. We all feel the same. We all feel the same about our block. You know what I mean? 17th Ave. So, and other people probably feel the same about their block. You know, so that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I feel good. I feel good today. I feel real good.
Yeah.
And I probably could talk all damn night if I wanted to, but we done do it. Well, it's been real. You sound like you very relaxed. I can't wait to get the feedback. anything else you wanted to say before I take a break?
No, other than
you did laugh a couple of times. You laughed a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to squeeze in a joke or two? Oh, okay. You know, I felt like I had to, you know, me interviewing you was a big, you know, this was a, it was a big charge. You are the mastermind. This is your show. So for me to come and interview you, I wanted to make sure I got it right and you know, hit all the points that I felt was going to, you know, shine the best light on you. So, you know.
Well, you know how
I'm a little bit serious, but it was for a good reason.
You know how I feel about you. You was my host on my talk show, the Bottom Corner. You know what I mean? And you here with me, and so you know where you stand with me. Like, I put everybody on different pedestals. You know what I mean? So when I think of you, you know what I mean? I think of you like Jennifer is like a librarian. You know what I mean? But Jennifer got that street in her too. So don't let that pretty face fool you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? She can shift gears. She down with the juicy crew. So don't let that fool you. You know what I mean? Shout out to Juicy Crew. Birds of a feather sometimes flock together.
I'll be here, you know. I'll be listening. Yeah. I'll be tuning in, and you know, from time to time, I'll jump in. I'll throw my hat in the ring.
Tune in from time to time, and I'm gonna play.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna play a song, and I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna see if anybody wanna ask any questions. If not, I'll just I just do what I always do. I'll just talk. Until, because we only got like 27 more minutes left. So with that being said, Jennifer, it's been a pleasure. It's been real.
Yes.
I'm trying
Thank
to think
you.
If there's anything I want to ask you before I let you go. I do want to ask you one thing though before I let you go. What's the teaching situation now? What's the teaching situation now right now? You teaching from home, virtual, or you doing it in the classrooms?
Oh, well, the schools are back, you know. The schools are back open. They're not looking for a shutdown. The city's not looking for a shutdown. You know, they mandated us to get vaccinated. They basically saying, you know, roll up your sleeves and get in there. So there is no virtual option right now. Everybody's back in the building.
Oh, so y'all actually in the classroom.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What grade do you teach?
Middle school.
What grade?
6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Oh, middle. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know that's
so, you know,
right.
I got them. They rowdy.
I know they is.
11 to 14. Yeah. They right at that age where, you know, you can still catch them.
But they definitely are already, you know, introduced to the life. So
that's
they,
New York.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to keep it real with them. So definitely, I mean, I've had, you know, students with probation officers. I've had pregnant students in my classrooms. And so.
In the
you know,
seventh grade? Wow, that's early.
Yeah. Seventh grade, I had seventh grade bellies. I've had a few eighth grade bellies. You know, you
wow.
got to keep it real with these kids. You can't sugarcoat nothing. So that's the only way they're
yeah.
going to listen to you and ultimately respect you. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That loves, hey, good luck in everything you do. And if
thank you.
By chance I write another movie, you know, if you're always welcome to come play a role in my
oh,
movie.
I'm there.
I would like to see you play. I would like to see you play something like Diamond, and
okay.
you know, Diamond Players Club. See, I had to tell a joke because
oh.
everybody was gonna say we were too tense. I had to tell a quick joke.
So
I would like to get you as Diamond in the Players Club or something like that.
Okay.
But nah, I keep you as a school teacher or a lawyer, professional stuff. But you got to be universal. Let me let you go. Yo, thanks
absolutely.
A lot, Jen. You know what I'm saying? You've been real.
You're welcome,
you know what I mean?
And thank you.
Always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Jennifer Ellison signing out, and I'll be right back after this song in a minute so I can find a nice song to play. I'm looking for something.
Peace out. Thank you.
We'll be right back. I'm trying to be right back.
Shout out, Young Swiss. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I do.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Oh, we back, we back, we back. Ooh, we got kind of deep in that interview. That was I like that interview. That was like a hell of a conclusion. To the Naked Soul. I call that interview the Naked Soul of Jay Sean, when I told a couple of secrets and revealed certain parts of my life to everybody. Everybody in this lifetime has a past. I feel like a past is what makes you who you are today. You can't change the past. You can't take away from the past. You can't rewrite it. And nothing means nothing except today and tomorrow. How much money you had 5 days ago, 5 years ago, it means nothing. Who you slept with last year, 5 years ago, it means nothing. Everything is about today and tomorrow. The next morning. The last time when I was talking to my father before he passed away, he had stopped talking. He was on hospice. And I said to him, I was trying to get him to talk. I said, tell me something. You know, tell me something. You know what I mean? And the last thing my father said to me before he died was, he said, in the end, everything you think meant something, it didn't really mean shit. And I didn't really understand him at that time. Everything that you think means something, in the end, it really don't mean shit. And then it hit me. All the shit we worry about, bills, and what this person is doing, and what this person is saying, and busting your ass for jobs, and busting your ass for friends, and busting your ass for spouses, and busting your ass for children, and busting your ass for everything. Well, I mean, certain things you have to do. It's a no-brainer. But it's a lot of damn shit that we worry about that at the end don't really mean shit in the end. A lot of stuff we worry about. I know it's a lot of stuff I worry about that in the end it ain't gonna mean nothing. Who cheating on you? Who talking about you? Who hating on you? What this person saying about you? Is this man really with me? Yo, in the end, all that ain't gonna mean nothing. Because when you out of here, you out of here. You can't stop fate. And everybody got a number. And when your number is up, your number is up. That's why I say you live every day like it's your last day. I was talking to a lawyer yesterday. And he was talking something about 3 years from now. 3 years from now, man. 3 years. Man, I'm trying to make it to tomorrow. You serious? Come on, man. Come on. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Let's see if anybody out here. 3282, you on the line?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Jay?
Oh. Yo, what's good? What's good?
Hold on, I gotta take you off speakerphone because I know you're being interviewed. Hold on for a minute. Hold up, hold up, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
All right, right. What's happening? What's happening? You called me at a good time. I was just about to doze off.
When I clicked the number, I said, "Let me see if he awoke or sleeping." You know what I mean?
I was listening.
It was funny because last week it was 5 minutes to go before the show. I clicked on your number, but I guess you dozed off, but it was good because I needed 5 minutes to close out the show. So it worked out just right. You know, I had some things I wanted to say. But anyway, everybody,
right.
This is Farz Nance, the host of the podcast Saturday night to 7 o'clock. Grown folks talk and express yourself. It's every Saturday at 7 o'clock. If you want to know more about diabetes, high blood pressure, how to eat, what kind of foods to eat, you tell them about it. Go ahead. It's your floor. You got the floor.
Oh, well, thank
if you,
brother.
Want to.
First of all, peace and blessings to the listening audience. This is Farz. And every Saturday, you know, I bring on, well, when I open up my commentary, I always talk about social issues that affect us as a culture, and we should be aware of. And then I also have different guests on, you know, I got Ms. Crystal Allen from people that are visually impaired or either blind. She has a wealth of information. Jay, being a technician for my show, can tell you she always talks about different programs and things. And you don't even have to be visually impaired or sighted. You could have 20/20, man, and she just puts you down with what's going on. Also, Brother Rashad El Amin, he's a mass herbalist, what they call a naturopath. He gives protocols for better health, you know, and different people. Like tomorrow night, I got Rashad, of course, you know, Jay, coming on. And then I also have a lady calling out of Charlotte, North Carolina. She's a motivational speaker and a wellness coach. So she'll be coming on, speaking tomorrow night, you know, giving her a little. So she's a graduate of Morgan State University. So, you know, like I said, it's just something to, you know, empower and, you know, give a little intellect to the culture out there, you know, because, you know, I've had all people from all across the board on, you know, black, white, Hispanic. So, you know, just tune in, like Jay said on Saturday. You know, of course, my man come on Friday night. So I always listen in, you know. So, I mean, basically that's it. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Just hit the same number, y'all. Just listen in, you know, and enjoy, you know.
Tell them about my man Rashad.
Yeah, well, Rashad, I just told him, he's the herbalist, and he comes on. We talk about different issues, like Jay was saying. Now, the topic tomorrow, I think he's going to finish with cancer. He was talking about people, and I know a lot of people out there, that's, you know, people's family members have been impacted by, unfortunately, when they get cancer. That's something that y'all don't want to catch, trust me. I've had family members pass away from cancer, man. So, he talks about other things to avoid, you know, in terms of diet and things that we should be taking in. And a lot of us don't know what we should be doing in terms of our diet and supplements. So Rashad just offers tips. But like I said, you know, the know better is to do better. And if you know something's nice. Better for you, but you don't follow the protocol, well, hey, you know, hey, you've got to reap the consequences of your actions or inactions in this case. So, and then the following week, I know you already told me you're going to talk about the benefits of organic, unrefined coconut oil, you know. So, you know,
right.
Like I said, you know, and then, you know, I also had a brother on Michael Collins from Youngevity. He's a distributor from Dr. Joe Wallach, you know, and Joe Wallach is one of the heavyweights in the country in terms of being a speaker. He's on YouTube, so. Like I said, you know, like impactful information, that, you know, basically because, I mean, everybody wants to live a healthy life, man. But you got to be stepping in that right direction, you know, because you can't be healthy, you know, and then you're putting bad fuel in the body. It just ain't going to work. You put bad fuel in your car, it's going to start, the engine's going to start knocking. Next thing you know, you've got to buy a new engine or a new car, you know.
Yep.
So that's basically what it's all about, people. And, also, I'm a distributor for green tea. Jay just got some, and I love it. Green tea is one of the most powerful detoxes, you know, out here. So, like I said, just listen in, you know, and you know, for the people out there like green tea, listen in tomorrow, and I'll tell you how you can get your bag a good deal on. You get a discount when you use my customer code on my Facebook page.
Right. Well, everybody, that's my man, Farz Nance. Tune into his show tomorrow night. You know, I mean, it's a really good show. Like you said, I'm a technician, and The show is really a good show. It's really a good show. It's really a good show. We got another caller on the line. Stay on the show, Forrest. I'm going to go take another caller.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 5346.
Hi, Bishop.
Lola, you back?
Hi, Lola. Yes, I had to take another call. You know, my mama, you know, once she calls, I got to go. You know?
Hey, Lola,
so how you doing?
I'm all right. I want to bring you on my show for about 30 minutes next week.
When and what time? Yeah. And if you want to know about Shay, you got to just give her a call.
Oh, yeah. Tell how's Shay doing?
She doing fine.
Okay. All right. We got
Forrest. How are you, Forrest?
Hey, what's up, Lola? How you doing?
Good. Still on my search, honey.
Yeah, when you want to get some green tea, I want to ask Lola one question. Hey, Lola, I know you're a green tea drinker. When you going to get some green tea, Lola?
As soon as you give it to me for free.
Oh, boy, here we go. All right, Jay, continue with the
interview. Wait a minute, did you say there we go?
No, I didn't say that. I'm half asleep. Did I say that? I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. And
I just remember green tea, Lola. I'm so sorry.
Aren't you going to invite me and make me some?
Old school pimp. Oh, no, that's Jay's job. I don't pimp, honey. I'm a good guy. I'm a beta male. I don't do things like that.
Yeah,
I like to kiss.
Jay Sean, you know how that goes. You see, he doesn't even want to offer me a cup of tea.
I said I would give you some and kiss your feet, Lola.
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't want it for free. I want you to make it for me.
She didn't hear what I said. She's so busy talking, Jay.
He said he would give her some free tea and kiss her feet.
Now she's talking about, she's so busy talking, see?
You just want to kiss my feet when I suck on my toes. They're lovely made pedicures.
Well, good. You save some of that green tea. We could pour right over your toes. I'll suck it right off, Lola.
See, Lola, you're going to have everybody calling me and asking me who was Lola again. You did that before. She got my audience all strung out, and then she disappeared on me.
Not really, because COVID happened.
Yeah, COVID been happening. COVID did happen. But anyway, Lola, so what, you haven't found love yet?
No, not yet.
Wow.
And you know what? And I still don't give up because, you know, I go through the, okay, you meet somebody, you give them a chance, and, you know, and the old ones want to come back thinking that they're going to get a second chance. It ain't going to happen, you know. You know how that is.
Yeah, somebody just texted me and said they damn sure want to know who you is. Now everybody going to be hitting me up. Yo, this is Lola. Let me tell everybody, this is Lola. Everybody, she came on my podcast. I don't remember when it was. She came on my podcast, and it was more like the adventures of Lola Falana. Like, she would tell us about her online dating affairs, and I'm not even going to get into it right now because we don't have enough time to talk about all Lola. I don't want to say sexcapades. Or Lola on adventures, but I'm gonna try to get Lola back on the show next week if she come back, and I'll let everybody get familiar with her. Lola is a live wire. She definitely is the meaning of my show, Keeping It Real. She definitely is somebody. She gonna come out here. She gonna keep it real. I don't really remember. What's your nationality again?
Puerto Rican.
She Puerto Rican. You 100% Puerto Rican?
Yeah, my parents are Puerto Rican. I was born here.
Okay.
My parents are from Puerto Rico.
She's 100% Puerto Rican, and she don't, and Lola don't play. Lola does not play. Lola keeps it real. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie about that. In a good way, she keeps it real. You know, not disrespectful. Lola keeps it real in a good way where you know that she's a good-hearted person. person and she's a good person. She's just looking for love in all the wrong places. So we gonna tell. I was supposed to do a dating game like a couple of weeks ago, but everybody was scared. Maybe we can set that up now. Maybe we can set up the dating
game. Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'll try to. Maybe that's what we'll do next week. I'll get three guys, and I'll let you. But you can't. You got to be here, Lola. You can't tell me you're coming and don't come.
Well, it's not a matter of coming. First, you got to tell me what they look like.
Call. No.
I'm not talking about what they look like.
No, you don't go by what they look like. When it's a dating game, you just I get three guys and you ask them all different questions and then you pick which one.
Oh,
and I'm going to pay for the date.
100.
I'm going to pay for the date?
Hell yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I was trying to do that 3 weeks ago, and everybody was scared. I was like, I'm going to pay for the date, the lunch. I'm going to pay for it.
Oh.
And you know what I mean? And everybody was scared. Like, is it going to be this? I said, listen, I'm going to do the dating game. You pick somebody. I'm going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And then you just go out to lunch or something, and then come back on the show and tell me how it was. And I don't know why would everybody – if I wasn't the host, I would definitely do it myself. You know what I mean? But – We're gonna try to set that up. I'm gonna try to find three nice gentlemen, and see if I can get. And Lola, you got to think of questions that you want to ask the three guys, and then you.
Oh, I got plenty of them.
Yeah.
You don't feel comfortable going with them.
If you don't feel comfortable going with them by yourself, I'll tag along as a third wheel to make sure you're safe. It don't matter. I'll sit in the booth behind your booth. You know what I mean? To make sure we can go to the Lexus.
Horace, don't be laughing.
I'm laughing, baby. I'm laughing.
I'd go to the Lexus in my mind.
Lola's my girl. I don't know what you're talking about, Jay, trying to put on another man.
I mean, you got to give her some green tea first.
Yeah.
I know, right?
If I give her some green tea, she ain't going to want to come on the dating game, so she might as well do your dating game, Jay, then I'll...
Uh-oh,
you know,
sound like something to me.
Then she'll see what she's been missing.
Lola, so what, yeah. Lola, you on POF?
Yeah.
You still on POF? What other sites you on?
Yeah.
What other sites you on?
That's it.
Blank.
Because I go through a whole bunch, like about five or six of them, and then I start talking, and then they start playing these games, and then I start weeding them out, and then all of a sudden, then I get off for a bit, and then I go back on like that.
Oh,
but they're crazy. I've met a couple. Oh my God, I have new stories.
Okay, no, save them. Don't tell them now. Save them for the next show, for real. And you said Shay, and tell Shay say I said hello. You know what I mean? I don't got no beef with her. I'm not gonna call her.
Y'all go way back. Y'all too many years off that. Come on.
Me and Shay go back to the 90s. She got mad. She stopped talking to me because I called her a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna lie. That's what happened. I called her a bitch in a text.
Okay, so then you, So now you could apologize nationally.
No. I won't apologize because she. I mean, we both said things to each other. You know what I'm saying? But I don't hold grudges. I never hold grudges. Me and her. We got
okay.
Too much history.
Well, tell her you love her. Tell her you love her. And that's it.
Oh, damn, I forgot to ask the interviewer that. Do she believe in love? Damn, I forgot. You just remind me that. Do you believe in love, Lola?
You? Of course, all the time, 100%.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm always looking for love.
Oh, my God. That's Lola,
right,
y'all. Well, look. Forrest.
Forrest is God.
Farce dozed off.
Lola,
I'm going to be in touch with you. I'm going to set something up for next week, all right?
All right.
And thanks for calling. All right, I'll be in touch with
you. You're welcome. Have a good night. All right.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. All right, to cut that was Crystal Allen calling me, Jay.
Huh?
That was Crystal Allen calling me. I had to click over. Lola, boy, we got Lola back. Boy,
was,
it's good. You better keep
just,
her number,
she just,
man.
She was just calling you, man. She was like, far as. I was like, he must have clicked over or something. But anyway.
I did.
I had to click over because I had to click.
Well, you was interviewing. Like, hey, it's your show, baby. I ain't, you know.
She'll be back next week.
Yeah, but she's still on Plenty of Fish. Oh, Lord. She's looking for love in all the wrong places, man.
Yo, I'm getting ready to end the show. Yo, everybody,
okay. Thanks
for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You know what I mean? It's been real. You know what I mean? We'll be back next week. You know what I mean? On the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online radio podcast. You know what I mean? And your past. Don't worry about your past. It only lets you know where you're going in the future. You know what I mean? And everybody got a past. You know, it's been real. You know what I mean? Make sure you tune in. You know what I mean? Thank everybody out there who listened to the show tonight. I'm wide awake. You know what I mean? And I don't know what I'm going to do now. I just started drinking. I waited to the last minute. But everybody out there, hope you enjoyed the show. Everybody that clicked on the link, everybody that called in on the phone lines, I appreciate you. And I'll see you next week. Thanks to Jennifer Ellison and everybody. We signing out, and we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat station. Peace.